listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Week 7 in the NFL kicked off last night. That one was kind of a snoozer, but a lot of injuries and just, it was not a fun game. And oh, Vic Fangio, it's a little harder when you're not playing Zach Wilson and some of the other cupcakes they had in the first couple of weeks. All of a sudden, poor Vic, it's reeling out of control in Denver. So that was a good game last night. This is not a sexy weekend in the NFL. I think Titans-Chiefs could be a good one. At least it should be a shootout.
Well, that
both
should
teams
be the
stink
one.
Defensively, but right. Their offenses are incredible.
That should be the game.
That should be the game. The weather, I think, is going to make it so that Colts-49ers is not a very good game. I think it would have been good if the weather was better, but it sounds like weather is going to be a significant factor Sunday night in Santa Clara, so that could affect that. I think Bears and Bucks could get ugly. I'll be there looking forward to it, but it could get ugly. It's not a ton of great games.
We're talking football. Your first week of six byes.
Yes, six teams on bye.
And
so
a lot of sexy players.
Games. Right. Chargers, no Cowboys, no Vikings.
You got a 13-game slate.
Yeah.
So you got yesterday, that one. You've got the Sunday night or the Monday night, or you're back to a 10-game slate.
Yeah.
So it's 6-4 probably, if I had to guess. 6 at the noon and then 4 games at 3 o'clock.
Not a great weekend.
You always just try to see what that slate looks like.
Let's bring in Dan Wiederer. He joins us from the Chicago Tribune on the Corona Hotline. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and ESPN Chicago, the ESPN Chicago app. I was reading Dan's story yesterday, and it's talking about some courier in New York, and I'm like, where's this going? And it's all about Tom Brady signing with the Bucs. What's going on, Dan?
Carmen, you got your SPF 50 and your swim trunks ready?
SPF like 30 for me. Remember, I'm Mediterranean. 15 or 30 is good. I don't need the 50.
He's got the zinc oxide for the nose. Though.
Yeah, I do. I've got the Italian blood, so I tan nicely. It's going to be beautiful
be
down
some
there.
Good heat out there on Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely. I did enjoy the story. You kind of revisited Brady's decision to choose the Bucs. I was just telling this to Yurko. I don't know, where it started, but there seems to be in a lot of circles, like people believe when Brady popped off in the offseason about there was one team that said, never mind. And he goes, I can't believe it. You're sticking with that bleeping guy. People seem to be convinced that's the Bears. And I said to Yurko, I know only Sith steal in absolutes, right, Yurko?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, then I'm a Sith. I am absolutely certain that the Bears didn't get to a point last March and say, you know what, time, forget it. We're going to stick with Mitch or Nick Foles. It's not the Bears, right, Dan? There's no way.
Right, in that regard, right. There's no way the Bears would have passed up Tom Brady for the Mitch Trubisky-Nick Foles competition. I think where people kind of got caught was the second part of Brady's quote when he says, when I look back, I'm thinking there ain't no bleeping way I would have went to that team, but they said they didn't want me, and I know what that means, and I'm going to bleep you up because of that. And so if it is the Bears, then look out on Sunday.
Yeah, right.
Brady's got some ammo up his sleeve for this weekend, not just because of that, but because of what happened last year at Soldier Field.
There's just no way. I think it's the Titans.
Could be the Raiders.
Could be the Raiders.
San Francisco.
Yep. San Fran's another good one. That's true. We mentioned San Francisco. Yeah, could be the Raiders. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. He chose Tampa, which was the best spot for him. This team is so different than when they came here a year ago, right, Dan? When they were beat up and Arians and I think Brady were still trying to kind of figure each other out. They were injured. It was a short, it's so different this time around.
Yeah, there's no comparison. First of all, they had an off season, right? They had an entire off season, a full training camp. The offense was able to find its stride. Last year when the Bucs played here, it was on a Thursday night, short week, on the road. Brady didn't have Godwin. Antonio Brown wasn't with them yet. They were missing Leonard Fournette. They were missing LeSean McCoy. He wasn't up to speed yet with Arians and Byron Leftwich. And so now you've got this offense that's the top three offense in the league that is really in a groove right now, and the Bears are going to be challenged to keep up with an offense that heads into its seventh game of the season and hasn't even reached 100 points yet. So good luck.
What's going on with Robert Quinn? I never thought going into the year I'd say, boy, they really need to have Robert Quinn. But he's turned it around this year. He's back to being the player he was, with the reputation he had down in Dallas, and with the Rams. But what do we have to do to get him back on the field this week?
Yeah, not just productive, Robert Quinn, but he's been playing with that passion that's been infectious. You see him chasing down plays and bringing that energy that ignites an entire defense. And so right now it's just a wait-and-see game, trying to see if he can get clear of the coronavirus.
Well, when did they find out? When did they find out he had the virus?
So for him, it doesn't matter when they found out. What he has to do is produce two negative tests consecutively, separated by 24 hours.
Right, starting so when? That's my point. Was it? Did they start the testing process two days ago?
The very next day after he tests positive. And so, you know, how quickly does the virus clear for him, right? And how quickly can you get that first negative test? Can you get that second negative test? They obviously got to get on a plane tomorrow. And so you got to be able to kind of work through these things. This is still around, and they still got to kind of deal with it on the fly. Similar thing with Damian Williams, although Damian Williams is unvaccinated. And so he's obviously coming up on his 10-day window. And if that window closes tomorrow afternoon, there's a possibility that he could travel with them and play on Sunday afternoon.
You touched on this with Waddle and Sylvie yesterday. There's some irony there, isn't there, that Damian Williams took off last year because of COVID and he's not vaccinated? That seems strange.
Right. I mean, you either have concerns over contracting the virus or you don't. And then the two things don't seem to line up. And it is what it is. But again, it affects your availability, right, to your football team. And it affects your availability at a time when your number one running back is out with a hyperextended knee and is going to be out for a little bit. And so these are all things that leave the Bears a little shorthanded into a game where they're going to have a very, very small margin for error against a run defense that's as good as any as you're going to find in the NFL. And look out. You know, I think this has the chance, I've said this a few times this week, to be not only a lopsided game, but the type of loss that could basically let the floor fall out of the entire season if it gets really embarrassing.
I know you don't want to just, you know, run your head into a wall and 2 yards in a cloud of dust. And they are a very difficult unit to run against. But, I mean, schematically, even Yurko was saying there are things you can do. I just don't know if I trust this offensive brain trust, if you want to call it that, to come up with the proper game plan to try to do, you know, maybe some of the things that they do well with a twist or try to exploit some of the weaknesses of the other team. I don't know. I don't have faith. The offense has been awful for 2.5 years now, Dan.
Why would you have trust? Why would you have faith? Again, they haven't gotten to 100 points on the season yet. There's been two times this entire season where they scored multiple touchdowns in a half. It was the first half against the Lions at Soldier Field, first half in Vegas against the Raiders. Other than that, you know, this is a team that's allergic to scoring 21 points, and you know Brady is going to get past 21 points.
Yeah.
And so at some point, this is going to become a chase game, and do you have the passing attack to keep up? Right now, they're averaging 117 passing yards per game in 2021 in the NFL. I mean, that's an unfathomable number to wrap your brain around. They're going to have to figure out ways to unlock that, because otherwise you're going to be in a world of hurt.
Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune talking Bears with us. Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Eddie Jackson on Twitter, Instagram, I guess, not Twitter. Most of them are all Insta now. Eddie Jackson on Instagram. Jalen Johnson on Instagram. I mean, it's like, come on, guys. What is Sean Desai? And he's young himself, but you know, we're seeing some good things from Sean Desai. What does he say to that group this week when stuff like that happens?
First of all, I'm going to have to start hiring somebody to just be on full time alert, checking these guys' social media accounts, because you never know who's going to pop off and in which forum and what it's going to mean. But certainly, you would hope that Sean Desai and Matt Nagy would have a full team meeting and say, "Listen, guys, this is not what we're here to do. Right? Do your job. If you don't do it well and we lose, just swallow it, right? And go on and move on to the next game." You guys touched on it before I came on. The amount of effort it takes, number one, to be tracking what everyone in the outside world is saying about your performance, and then to go try to dig up things on them to sort of clap back. It's a strange use of time and energy. I understand there's a lot of frustration brewing inside that building right now. That's why I say you got to keep an eye on it, because if this defense starts to get fed up to the level where this is year three now, where they're playing at a caliber where they can win football games, and the offense continues to hold them back, and then they start getting sort of angry enough to pop off, and they don't have the buy-in and the trust in their coaching staff, that's where I say this could be one of those games that opens the door. I've told people a couple times this week, remember, the 2018 Bears were 3-3, and then they got on a heater. Well, guess what? The 2014 Bears were also 3-3, and they went into free fall mode right around this time of year. And so you just have to be very, very wary of what might be around the next corner.
What's the buzz around the league, as far as you can tell, about the way Fields is playing, or any sort of early evaluation, even though the numbers are awful for this offense, and you talked about the passing numbers and all that? Just from, is he passing the eye test in a certain way to people around the league or even in that building right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's curiosity, right? I think they want to see his play speed continue to pick up, his ability to you know, understand what the speed of this game is about, and you have to have that time clock in your head and not take 10-yard sacks when you're in field goal range late in the first half. There's mistakes that are being made that you want to see get corrected, but those are going to happen with any rookie quarterback. And so this is now, you know, he's going to make his fifth start here coming up. And so now all of a sudden you've got this body of work that's growing. It's going to grow significantly through the rest of the year, and you just want to see continued growth. It's not always going to be reflected on the stat sheet, but if you can see a guy that's understanding what defenses are showing him, understanding how to use his instincts, understanding how to string together drives. Justin said it this week. It can't just be a play here and there that jumpstarts a drive. In the NFL, you have to sustain drives by being productive on your own, right? You can't just rely on, oh, we took a 6-yard loss. We're going to get ourselves out of this jam. That's not going to happen. So I think, to your question, I think that the sentiment around the league is everything looks okay right now, but there's a lot ahead of this team over the next 10 or 12 weeks, and people are very curious to see kind of how he handles this. This is the first time in Justin Fields' life that he's handled losing, right, and had to deal with losing. He doesn't lose 3 games in a month, and so that's always a challenge for some of these high-profile rookie quarterbacks as well.
I mean, did he lose 3 games at Ohio State, for crying out loud, the last 2 years? I mean, probably lost
total,
three.
Total, right? Yeah. Total. Probably lost three games, right?
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I very much enjoyed the spirited debate you and Sylvie had about Eddie Jackson yesterday, by the way. That was good stuff, and you kind of put him in his place. Good for you.
Well, listen, good for you. Eddie's not playing up to his contract. He's not playing up to his potential. He's not playing well enough to deserve the credit that he wants, but he's certainly not expendable. That's where I kind of drew the line.
Yeah, I loved it. You jumped right in.
But at some point, depending upon the money you earn, you become dispensable.
I mean, you got to play better. There's no question about that. But I do think, look, you can look deeper into the film of last week's game and see that even though there are a couple breakdowns, right? Like, the Bears held Aaron Rodgers below 200 yards passing.
Yep.
As a pass defense, that's a victory.
Yep.
They held Devontae Adams to 5 targets, which is in its own right is a victory from the guy that Rodgers is looking for all the time. And part of Eddie's responsibility last week was making sure he was giving some help to Jalen Johnson, who requested the one-on-one battle with Devontae Adams. And, yeah, they gave up 2 plays, 2 big ones that Jalen got beat on. But overall, they kept Rodgers and Adams from beating them last week, and then they just couldn't get enough offense generated to pull off the upset. And that's the same old story here, guys. I can give you numbers all day.
Yeah.
Tom Brady has thrown 5 touchdown passes in a game twice this season. The Bears have 3 touchdown passes for the entirety of the year.
That's sickening. I mean, listen to that. That is absolutely sickening. Hey,
have you ever seen a game with so few possessions? I've never seen a full game go with only 16 possessions.
I mean, and that's what you're trying to do against Rodgers, right? You're trying to shorten it as best you can and keep him off the field as much as you can and keep that game within reach until you can maybe spring a play late to do it. I think Sunday's game is going to be a whole different ballgame. I think the Bucs are going to get out quickly. I think they're going to get out early. And then it's, can Bears respond being in a 13-point, 14-point hole early, or does the whole thing just come unraveled?
Dan, thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend, all right?
All right, enjoy your trip, Carm.
Thanks, buddy. See ya. There's Dan Weider, at Dan Weider on Twitter. Great work covering the Bears for the Tribune. Yeah, I don't want to pile on, but hey, let's pile on. Since the start of the 2019 campaign, 31st in yards per play, Bears offense, 4.78 yards. 31st in net yards per attempt, 29th in third down percentage, 28th in touchdowns, 26th in points per game. They've ranked no higher than 25th in offensive DVOA in the last 2 seasons. They're 26th this week going into week 7 in the NFL. They're 27th in explosive plays in 2021, 27th in the league. They were 31st in 2020, 32nd in 2019. So, hey, at least that's improving a little bit. They're 19-19 over the last 38 games. If it weren't for the defense, think of what that record would be. And they have the second worst against the spread cover rate in the NFL since the start of 2019. Only the Jets cover fewer games than the Chicago Bears. The offense stinks. Hopefully.
Yeah, it's bad.
It can get better.
I've heard these numbers, Carl.
I know you have.
Yeah, I've heard these numbers. It's not good.
Yurko's going to give you some breakdown and tell you about the bare necessities when we return.
Working from home? We're back in the office. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
You're going out going to Twin Peaks in Warrenville when we're done. So we're out of here in about 40 minutes. We'll hit the road 1 to 3. Twin Peaks, Warrenville. Come by, say hi. Football Friday, special edition. We're going to tape a podcast. Yurko's going to X and O for you a little bit. The X's and the O's, the Jimmy's and the Joe's. Yurko's going to give you all the breakdown. Todd Furman live in Vegas in about 12 minutes. Don't miss that. But what you really don't want to miss is this. Yurko's Keys have been rebranded. I mean, they are so much better now that they are the bare necessities.
It's time once again to find out how the Bears secure a victory this week. As the Carmen and Yurko Show presents...
Well, that's just great.
The Bear Necessities.
You hear that, Ed? Bears. Now you're putting the whole station in jeopardy.
Look for the Bear Necessities, the simple Bear Necessities. Forget about your worries and your stress.
All right, Yurko, Bears and Bucks. I can't forget about all my worries this time. It's Tom Brady and the Bucks and the defending champs and maybe the favorites in the NFC. Bears going down to Tampa. Tell me, Yurko, what are the Bear Necessities?
Carmen, I'm glad you asked. Glad you asked me how the Bears are going to beat them down in beautiful Tampa.
Beautiful Tampa.
Bears over Bucks. How does it happen? Key number one. I got to widen them out. The defense. Offensive line, I'm going to widen out the splits. I'm going to force these guys to put some natural gaps in there. Now they've got to stay for the pass also. Okay, so but you can affect that, and you can adjust on your drop the way you get back into the position you would normally be. So at the line, I look fine. Okay, but when I give ground, I can go ahead and tighten it back up after that to stop those games from being as effective as they are.
Those twists,
so it's simple
turns.
Adjustment on the offensive line as you drop, tighten it up on your drop. That's the way you make things a little bit
tighter.
Starting
wide.
Starting wide with 3-foot splits.
And then you're coming closer together.
I'm saying for the run, it's going to be perfect and advantageous. That's what I want, okay? I want to start them wide. I'm saying you can adjust back on your set.
Okay.
When you come back on your set to narrow it up just
you
a little bit.
You think the Bears are working on any of this up there?
I don't know.
I really think you and Waddle should coach.
I'm coming up with the game plan.
That's a good plan.
My run game this week consists of quick traps. Whams, and the wham is from a four-man side where you come in and you let one of the defensive line free, and then you come in, you just kind of sidewind them. You hit them from the side, mm-hmm. and you try to surprise them. What you're going to ultimately do is slow that defensive line down. It's a penetrating defensive line. They like to cause chaos. Let them go. Let them run themselves out of position, and then hit them with quick traps and whams to keep them looking left and right and maybe slow down a little bit on that that defensive line. That's what you're looking to do. Wide receivers. My first two pass plays are four verticals. Four
Ooh,
verticals.
I like it.
First two pass plays. I'll find a guy. I run the running back out late on that little Texas route right up the middle. Just kind of angle out and then go right straight up the middle. That way you've got them all going back, going back, going back. That's my safety valve right there. Or Justin Fields got to go ahead and run the ball. That's the way it's going to be. But my first two pass plays are four vertical. We're on the attack. I want to get you on the back foot.
Do you have to
That's
run that out of a
do.
Certain personnel with like four wides on the field, or can you run it out of 12 personnel?
You can run it out of 31.
Out of 31.
Yeah, you can run it out of what we used to call Queens.
Wow.
Yeah, three wide receivers, one tight end. You could run that right out of there. That's not a problem. You'll be able to go ahead and do whatever you need out of that.
All right. So no back, three wides, and a tight end,
no,
right?
No, you got to have a running back in the backfield. When you've got three wide receivers, one tight end, there's a back in the backfield. There's always a back in the backfield. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm one off.
Yes, you're one off.
So you're basically running it out of 11 personnel, right? You got a back and a tight end. You got three wides, and you're sending four guys deep.
Queens, 31. Three wide receivers is what we're counting. When you go four wide, are you counting the running backs or the tight end?
No.
No, you're going four wides. So when I'm running a 31, it's three and a tight end.
Yeah.
Yeah. So three and a tight end.
Well, I say 11 because you got a back and a tight end.
I always have a back in my backfield. That's always there. It's never changed. Regular personnel is two backs in the backfield. Okay? Let's not get...
21 personnel.
Let's not get bogged down with terminology right there. Okay?
Gotcha.
So, there we go. Key number three. Oh, my sweet heavens. Opportunistic. This club has to play opportunistic football. Defensively, if you get your hands on the ball, gentlemen.
Oh, please.
You've got to be able to come down with it. Come down with it. You have to be able to do it. Key number four.
Don't give him extra chances, right?
Right, yeah. Key number four. Cole Kmet was a big part.
Yeah, much better.
A big part in the game last week. Targets and receptions.
Yeah.
Targets and receptions.
Much better.
He's got to play a key role. Dare we say, try to impress Mr. Gronkowski on the other sideline, even though he may not play?
He's not playing.
Okay? May not play, right? He's not playing. Try to impress him. Okay? Try to, if you're mini Gronk, let's try to impress, impress
the
real
Gronk.
That's
please.
What I have to do.
How many, just so I can look real quick. Yeah, four catches, 49, Yurk, last week, and it was, how many targets? It was five targets.
There you go.
Much more involved.
That's what we're looking for. All right, we've got nothing out of the special teams, but it looks like we've got a guy with a little spark back there.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a guy with a little bit of zest back there, Carm.
His name is Jakeem Grant.
Thank you very much. Is exactly what I'm looking for. You gave up a draft choice for this guy.
You did.
Okay? And it looks like he's got the ability to pop for you.
Yeah.
Now, give him the opportunities, and please, whatever you do, if you see the guy's name and the number on the back of the jersey, keep your hands off of him, please.
You.
I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world. It's the most tempting thing in the world to do is to go ahead and kind of push him by. But you got to keep your hands off him in that situation. Any penalty, whatever happens on the play, it takes it away.
Yeah.
And those are the keys to a Bears victory against the Tampa Bay Bucs. A little bit different.
Smoking hot.
I had to create some stuff and something very specific for how to beat that defense. And I hope I gave you kind of a little bit of a direction that I want to go here.
Oh, you did?
But they're not going to abandon the run. They're not going to be those other teams that abandon the run.
You sure?
I'm positive.
I mean, 2 years ago, they abandoned the run after two plays against the Chargers, remember?
They're not going to abandon the run. They're going to stick with it. But you need to create natural space in there. And then you need to go at them angles, Carm, angles. And they've got to be quick hitting. I saw it yesterday. Cleveland ran a P10. When's the last time you saw somebody run a P10?
What's the P10?
P10 is just a fullback dive into the middle of the line on third and one.
Hmm.
When's the last time you saw a fullback get a ball in the short and yardage
situation? You don't see that often.
Not a Mike Alstott fullback either. I'm talking old school Lorenzo Neal, Sam Gash type fullback. I said Sam Gash.
I'm sorry.
One of the best blocking fullbacks that ever played.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite players, too. Yeah. Sam Gash.
Sam Gash, baby.
Yeah. And low,
that's a good
Lorenzo
name for a guy that's going to be in the backfield, too, right? Like
absolutely.
Sam Gash.
Yeah. Low Neal.
Like, Low Neal was awesome. There's a guy in Philly right now, Yurko. There's a rookie out of Memphis named Kenneth Gainwell. Like, you're a running back if your name is Gainwell.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you've got to be a running back. Gainwell.
If your name was Charles Lotsyards, you know? I mean, it could be out there. Charles Lotsyards.
I remember Charles Lotsyards.
Yeah.
Is that SMU?
Greek
wasn't
guy.
He?
Greek guy.
Yeah.
Lotsyards.
Yeah.
Man, I'm
really good.
He'll come at you. But that's exactly what you need.
That's excellent breakdown from Yurko. That's not.
Like Michael Stonebreaker.
Yeah.
Linebacker.
Great.
Mike Stonebreaker.
Great.
Is that
call.
Not a great name for a linebacker?
Yeah, that's a great call.
Drafted by the Chicago Bears, I'll have you know.
Was he?
Yeah. Michael
that's
Stonebreaker. Linebacker out of Notre Dame.
Great call.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that. You sound tough. You know, you got to be a linebacker.
Stonebreaker.
Right? That sounds like a movie villain.
It
I love
does
it.
Kind of sound
that's
like a
why
bit of a movie
Dick
villain.
Butkus played the perfect, even
please.
Though he's not a butt kisser by any stretch of the imagination, but
Butkus.
It was tough.
Yeah, it was tough.
It was tough.
Mike Ditka's a tough name, you know?
Kutch.
Yeah, Ditka.
Or as Governor Ryan once called him,
Coach Butka. Or
Coach
something.
Butkus.
Something like
yeah.
that. Yeah.
No, not Butkus. It was Coach
Dick
Ditka.
Butka. I think he called him
Dick
Butka.
Butka, yeah.
Which is just.
Not Mike Ditka by any stretch
so
of the
wrong in so many ways. Maybe it's just like some sort of confirmation bias because we knew what a tough SOB was and is. But like Mike Ditka sounds tough. Yeah. You're right. You're right. Dick Butkus sounds tough. Bronco Nagurski sounds tough.
See, that's a name right
you
there.
You know, like that's
you
a.
Know? Chuck Bednarik.
Yeah, Chuck Bednarik.
Tough.
That's excellent. Ray Nitschke. Isn't that a tough name, right? Like Ray Nitschke.
It's coming at you.
You ever see the George Carlin bit about names?
Have not.
Oh, you'd love it. It's right up your alley.
What does Carlin have?
He goes on his whole Carlin rant. What's with the names today? And he goes, that's not a man's name. He says, a man's name is, pull it up if you can, Eric. You got to be careful because it's Carlin.
Right, so anything can happen.
But he goes on a big rant about names. He goes, those are names. And he talks about what a man's name should be. And it's like a classic George Carlin. He's like, that's a name. Yeah. That's a tough name for a man.
Ahead
of
his time, this Carlin.
Oh, he was fantastic. Please. I mean, he was absolutely. He was brilliant. I mean, just he was unlike anybody.
I loved him in Ted and Bill's Excellent.
Great.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Great, yeah. But no, you're right. Like sometimes you just got a tough name. You sound like you should be a tough guy and you're playing. In the NFL.
Carmen DeFalco. Did you say
that's not
a tough
name?
You sure?
No, it's like it's a name for radio, though. People think it's a made up name.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not.
Carmine DeFalco.
Yeah, well, that's technically Carmine.
And if you play the right
but
music.
I don't like Carmine as much.
If you play it in the right music in the background, it could be very intimidating.
I don't know what that means.
I'm
that's
just saying
not
the right
funny.
Music. I said the right music.
That's not funny.
I
at
didn't
all.
Say anything. I said the right music.
You're taking a shot.
I am not.
I've been asked over the years, like, well, that's got to be a radio name. No, it's not. That's my name. I'm from an Italian family. Both my grandfathers were Carmine. Mines or Carmine,
sure,
as you say,
sure.
In Italy, and my parents named me Carmine.
Makes a lot of sense. Who's the toughest name at the station? Mark Silverman doesn't do it.
No, it doesn't do it.
No.
I mean, Yurko's a...
Nah, Ivan Yurkovich doesn't roll off.
I tell you, Eric's in with us today. Eric Ostrowski.
That's a good one.
That's a tough name.
Just sounds like a laborer.
He sounds like he's an iron worker. Yeah. Eric Ostrowski.
I think Yurko, to be honest. Yurkovich.
Sounds like you're in the back making pierogies, Ostrowski.
It does.
You know?
With my bare hands, Yurko. Yeah. Always.
Yurkovich sounds like he could be an iron worker.
Yeah.
That's a tough name.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who else?
What else we got here? Waddle? No, not Waddle.
Tom Waddle.
Bleck is pretty hard. It's just Bleck. The one vowel, Bleck.
But it's Blick.
Instead of Black, Bleck. Yeah.
I don't Blick. Know. When we come back next, we're going to Vegas, my man. We're talking to the one and only Todd Furman. We love him. We'll get the best place for the weekend coming up next.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
This is one of my favorite times of the week every Friday, and a football Friday at 11:30 or so. We talked to Todd Furman live in Vegas. Check out his podcast. It's fantastic. He and Payne Insider do a great job breaking down games, college and pro, throughout the course of the week. Wherever you get your pods, it's the Bet the Board podcast. Follow Todd on Twitter. He is at Todd Furman. You know, I, of course, can't start with hockey because it's a football Friday, but like, don't let Todd leave without me asking him. I just saw an Ovechkin highlight again. I want to ask Todd a futures bet on Ovechkin question, because he can help us out with that.
I'll make sure.
As always, Todd, I sensed in your voice this week on the podcast that you're a little annoyed talking about the Bears for a second straight week. But hey, you know, I guess when it's Bears and Bucks and it's Tom Brady and he forgot the downs last year, you might as well spend some time on it, right?
About is we have one of our strongest listenership bases in Chicago for our podcast, and I think that's largely because of the spots that we've been doing in roughly this time slot for the last 5+ years. So if the Bears are playing in a semi-relevant game when we go through our decision-making process, they ultimately make the cut. And for what was a pretty unattractive slate as far as NFL games were concerned, we had to dive into it, and of course some injuries for Tampa, and that's part of the reason you're seeing that number come crashing down from 13 into no man's land at 11.5 right now.
Yeah, it is. The money has come on the Bears a little bit. Look, we know they're how stout they are up front. They can be passed on. That's not what the Bears do well. They run. So some wisdom has people saying, well, you just don't even try. This is the game to open it up for Fields. But the X's and O's in Yurko say, no, there is a way. It might be difficult and it might be different than how you normally want to run, but there is a way. How do you think this plays out? And the Bears have the brain power offensively capable of putting something together that could actually stun the Bucs this weekend.
It's definitely a fascinating matchup from a football nerd perspective, and I think Yurk hit on some of the key points there. When you try and figure out ways to attack Tampa, unless you have a high-flying offense like the Dallas Cowboys, who more or less abandon the ground game altogether, I think you have to go out there and at least try and find a way to keep Tampa honest. And you saw that for stretches from Philadelphia when it was getting Jalen Hurts outside the tackles. It was trying to utilize Miles Sanders on non-traditional running plays to take full advantage there, because that's actually where the Bears have had some success. It's not going to be Fields dropping back to throw it 35 times, expecting him to throw for 300 yards. They're going to have to keep Tampa honest. The interesting part about this Bucs team is that they've allowed opposing quarterbacks to complete more than 70% of their passes. The problem is the Bucs only give their opponents a shade more than 2 seconds in terms of dropping back to pass. So I think Fields has to identify what Tampa's doing, get the ball out quickly, and hopefully they can find some one-on-one matchups to get Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney in space to open up the ground game afterwards.
Chiefs-Titans, one of the more interesting games, I think, on the board for the week. The Chiefs are about a 5 or so point favorite on the road. Short week for the Titans. Chiefs have an unbelievable offense. The Titans have a pretty good one. Titans have a bad defense. Chiefs have an awful one. That's why we see a 57.5 for the total. Is that the side if anybody's going to play anything in that game? Will this be a shootout in Tennessee?
There's no way you're going to get me to try and back an under and pray for the clock to run out over the course of 3.5 hours in this one. When you look at Kansas City so far this season, their games have had an average point scored of 60.2. The Titans, no slouch in that department, a shade more than 54. And what's interesting is you dug into some of the trends on this particular game. Ryan Tannehill, when he's been installed as an underdog as starting quarterback at the Tennessee Titans, 10-0-1 over the total, which tells you that if Tennessee's playing from behind, they have to throw a little bit more, and that's kind of what we saw against Buffalo in Monday Night Football. But when you dig into this game and you talk about this Kansas City offense that's been done in by turnovers, they've scored on more than 51% of their drives, which is remarkable. They're turning the ball over way too often, and if they can take those drives instead of turning the ball over in the green zone and turn them into points, I honestly believe the best bet you can make on this game is taking advantage of Kansas City's offense against the Titans' defense, so it's going over the Chiefs' team total in that 31-31.5 range.
That's the thing that's killing them for sure, those turnovers right now. Texans-Cardinals, I can't believe I'm about to say it, but all week I felt like a case maybe could be made for the Houston Texans. Look, they do things, they do stupid things. Their coach is a dinosaur. I mean, he's got an antiquated way of thinking, and that doesn't help them. And they shot themselves in the foot, but they really moved the ball a lot last week. They've got over 350 yards in each of their last two. And with the big Packer game on deck for Arizona to kick off week 8 in the NFL, could this be a sneaky good spot to grab 17.5 points with the Houston Texans?
What a maddening total last weekend. I know I gave it out on this spot going over 43. We beat the market by 2 points through key numbers, and it's that Houston Texans offensive ineptitude that they had five drives in a plus territory and were able to muster a grand total of 3 points. As far as backing Houston, you're right. From a situational perspective, there may not be a better opportunity to go against an undefeated team at this point in the season in the form of the Arizona Cardinals. Short week against Green Bay, so you have to imagine if they build a comfortable lead, would they take their foot off the accelerator and allow Houston to get in the back door if it was required? The problem I have for Houston is they could be down 21-0 midway through the second quarter, and then you begin to wonder if Davis Mills is throwing into the teeth of this Cardinals defense. Will it be enough to try and keep them alive? You won't find me advocating for Arizona in this spot. I actually can see going under the total. I think Arizona can build a lead, maybe try and milk some clock, keep their guys healthy, and the second half going rather quickly. So I'd be looking at a second half adjusted total, especially if Arizona came out fast.
This is I need to win Purdy time in college football, and the two games I'm looking at specifically are Penn State going up against Illinois and Michigan against Northwestern, both giving up 23.5. And the last line that I saw, I'm willing to lay the wood because teams need to win impressively now.
You know, with Illinois, I think it's a question of what this offense is going to look like. Brandon Peters gets ruled out earlier this week. I'm not quite sure it's a massive upgrade or downgrade when you look at the Fighting Illini and their quarterback situation. As far as Penn State, I mean, I still make the case that they control their own destiny. If they were to win out, run the table, and get a healthy Sean Clifford back at some point, that they'd be very much in the thick of things. I look at Illinois, and the only chance they have is to try and bleed this clock down and hope that they can shorten the game from start to finish. So not a game that I'm running to tangle with in any real capacity there. As far as Michigan and Northwestern, I'm trying to figure out what the Wildcats are. The defense looked significantly better the last time we saw them against Rutgers. We did see them get absolutely gashed in Lincoln a few weeks ago against a Nebraska team that really hasn't shown the ability to score with reckless abandon against anybody but Northwestern so far this season. But as far as Michigan, they're a little bit one-dimensional, so if you can sell out and stop the run, I think you can take them out of their comfort zone. But I'm with you, Yerk. It's a lay it or don't play it type scenario with Michigan. The one concern I'd have here is that if Michigan, again, builds a big lead, do they start focusing on their Halloween weekend date against Michigan State, which could be a matchup of unbeaten.
Think about that. Yeah, Michigan State's on deck for Michigan, and if I'm not mistaken, Ohio State's on deck for Penn State, so that's the one thing. We're talking to Todd Furman. He's live in Vegas. It's Carmen and Yurko. Todd joins us each and every Friday. Check out the podcast, the Bet the Board podcast, wherever you get your pods, and follow Todd on Twitter at Todd Furman. Oregon-UCLA is a pretty big game. I mean, the loser is basically going to be out of the Pac-12 championship game, right? So significant game where UCLA is a small one-point favorite at home where they've lost back-to-back games, actually. How do we see Oregon and UCLA?
I think the biggest question when you're handicapping this spot is which quarterback do you trust more? We've seen Anthony Brown at his absolute best when Oregon upset Ohio State as two-touchdown underdogs earlier this year in Columbus. We've also seen Anthony Brown really struggle to go through his progressions in the loss against Stanford, and they didn't exactly look all that dynamic in a narrow victory last Friday against Cal. But when you look at those two games specifically, I mean, Oregon was without their offensive coordinator, Joe Moorhead, completely in Palo Alto. Moorhead called plays from the booth last weekend, and you could tell they were disjointed as far as their personnel packages. They weren't able to work at a faster clip, and I think that held them back some. Meanwhile, UCLA, I mean, this is a team that wants to run the ball. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is getting better as a thrower, but it's all about Britton Brown and Zach Charbonnet, a tandem of backs that that's gone for more than 1,100 yards so far this season. I know the number makes a strong case for UCLA when you look at an unranked team against a top 10 foe laying points in their own building, but I actually believe this is a buy low spot for Oregon. Problem for me is I wanted 3 in the game. The market was trending that way, and then there was a little bit of resistance at 2, 2.5. So probably not a game I'll get involved in unless I can find a good live price on Oregon and maybe more than a touchdown if they start slow.
Got it. Sounds good. Before we get to best bets, here's the hockey question. Todd's a hockey guy, so he'll appreciate it. Ovechkin's got 4 goals in 4 games. Now, he's 36 years old, and I don't think he's on the TB12 diet. Something tells me he's not. So he's 36. He is now 160 away from tying Wayne Gretzky's record, 161 away from breaking it. Like, if I were to walk into a bookmaker, would I get shorter odds than I think? If, like, I wanted to make a long play on Ovechkin to break that record, still 161 goals away, what would I be looking at if a bookmaker would give it to me?
You know, my feeling on this is I'd actually make Ovechkin a favorite to break this record, which probably puts me in the minority. And the reason I say that is because I think they're going to do everything they can to try and keep Ovi out there in spots where he can continue to rack up goals. You look at the Capitals extending his contract. They clearly want him to be a part of this franchise going forward. Unless there is a major injury scare or something along those lines, you could see Ovechkin out there into that Patrick Marleau-type window where he is a power play specialist more than anything else, and he just parks himself in the office. He can hum one-timers off the bar. I think the Caps are going to try and do everything to get him where he needs to go, and if the early season returns are an indication, maybe we're talking about Ovechkin flirting with 40 or 50 goals at a real advanced age this year, which will help shorten that runway that what it'll take to get to the great one.
That's a guy who has been a bookmaker telling you that it might be a favorite. Think about that. Who would have thought that even a couple of years ago, as great as Ovechkin is, that record might fall? I mean, it seemed unattainable, you know, that somebody would score more than 894 goals. Yeah, and just incredible.
The Russian
is 4
goals powerful.
In 4 games?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's what he does.
All right, Tom, what do we like for the weekend, buddy?
So we'll go to college for a couple of games, and no major power conferences by any stretch of the imagination. We're going to take the Temple Owls plus the 2 on the road against USF. I know the Bulls were good to us last weekend, but if you dig into that box score, they were dominated in a lot of key categories. I think they had their heart broken there. And when you look at Rod Carey's team, this is a must win if Temple is going to have a chance to flirt with the
delivery.
Ability.
Delivery, Todd. The dog's going nuts.
That's, you know what that is? That's actually Monday's newspaper today, so it'll make it easier to pick winners for this segment. So we'll go with Temple there. We'll go out to the Mountain West, and we'll back San Diego State plus a field goal against Air Force. I really believe the Aztecs will be able to dominate both the offensive and defensive line in that particular game. And then Sunday Night Football, we'll go under the total, but we'll do so in the first half. Some nasty weather expected in San Francisco and Indy. I think with rain and wind, you could see conservative game plans both ways. So we'll go under 21.5 between the 49ers and Colts.
Todd, thanks, brother. Have a great weekend, all right?
Always a pleasure, gents. Best of luck with your pick.
You too. There's Todd Furman, the Bet the Board podcast, at Todd Furman on Twitter. Mike North's bonus play is next.
Hey, what's up, folks? Your buddy, your pal here, Randy Merkin. It's a great day. It's Friday, Football Friday. Add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. Listen, there's a reason FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. They've got all the odds and all the biggest sports, and they make it simple and intuitive to place your bets. It's the place to go for exciting bet types such as same-game parlays on the NBA and Major League Baseball and daily offers and promotions. And how about this weekend, Sunday, Vegas, we just had Todd Furman on from Vegas. I like the Eagles on the money line, plus 124, and anytime Jalen Hurts touchdown. Hey, FanDuel believes that beating the spread is hard enough. So unlike other sports books, FanDuel doesn't make you jump through hoops when you want to withdraw your winnings. If you haven't signed up, FanDuel is giving you $100 in free bets when you do sign up. No deposit required. FanDuel will also make your first real money wager risk-free up to $1,000. If you lose, you'll receive it back in site credit. Now, in order to sign up, check out FanDuel's new sportsbook and racetrack in East St. Louis, formerly Fairmont Park. While you are there, bet, watch, and win on live horse race and sports from all over the world. Sign up now and then bet on FanDuel Sportsbook easily on your phone from the comfort of home. So just head on over to FanDuel Sportsbook and horse racing to get in on the action. Must be 21 plus and present in Illinois. Site credit is not withdrawable and expires in 7 days after receipt. $10 minimum deposit required to withdraw any winnings. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Carmen, I know we're running short on time.
Yeah, don't worry. You got to get your
Frank DiPino,
your
man.
Frank DiPino
this is the only day I can tell the story.
All right, real quick, let's get to Mike. He hit it again last week. Baltimore. Oh, boy, that was an easy one. What, 34-6 final? Baltimore? minus the points. Easy peasy.
It was so easy, everybody would have had it, but Mike had it.
Mike had it.
Mike had it.
I jumped on with my partner.
It wasn't so easy. Mike had it.
I had
tried to give it to everybody else.
All right, let's do the bonus play. Join Mike and me for the Odds Couple every Friday. The podcast is going up on the ESPN Chicago app. He is at North to North on Twitter. Mikey, what do we like for this week?
Also at Arizona in that little stanza there, boys, at 11:48 every Friday. If you remember, I was freaked out because of the fact that things were starting to tilt with Arizona, so I backed myself up with Baltimore. I know we're short on time, but I'm going to tell you something right now. I got two games for everybody. One that's going to be on the Odds Couple tonight because you're happy enough to listen here on AM 1000. But the other one is going to be dynamite, okay? First of all, take the Miami Hurricanes getting 3.5 at home with a coach that's in trouble, with the alumni all over them, playing North Carolina State. Listen, I don't know who's there. I thought Testaverde he still walks around. I had no idea who's over there. I don't know who the coach is. Jimmy Johnson, whoever. I just do the homework. It comes out Miami. Now, the other one was interesting because we are the greatest show ever to make football predictions around 9:10 in the morning when we do our podcast right now because we're getting ready to do some rescheduling. But I'll tell you this right now. We talked about Wisconsin playing Purdue. Wisconsin won the game. That's the thing everybody's forgetting, even though they covered. They're playing at Ross-Ade Stadium against Purdue. Randy touched on it, and you'll hear it on the Odds Couple podcast and on Saturday morning and Sunday morning this weekend. But I hadn't had the full information. Wisconsin wins this football game by 7, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh, all right.
At Purdue, giving Purdue points, even though Purdue is ranked.
Ranked, yeah.
A ranked team. I don't know. I mean, is Gene Katie walking through that door?
No, definitely not.
Is Gary Phipps? Or whatever the guy's name was. Is Drew Brees walking through?
There you go.
Apparently, yeah, I finally got one right. Scott Campbell. I mean, I could go all night long. Mike Phipps. All night long with those great quarterbacks. So it's going to be fun in Miami, and it's going to be fun in Wisconsin on State Street.
Miami plus the points. Wisco minus the points in West Lafayette. Mikey, thanks as always. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Love you both. Take care, man.
See you, Mike. Podcast is going up. ESPN Chicago app, and then it'll be replayed, encore replay tomorrow morning 8 to 9 and Sunday morning 9 to 10 to get you ready for the NFL. Merck, the Frank DePino story.
All right, here we go. Please. Real quickly, 1989, I'm a sophomore at Madison, okay? Mm-hmm. The Cubs are going to win the division. Frank DePino is traded late August, mid-August. He rips the Cubs and Don Zimmer on the way out.
I cut the
article out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs win the division in late September. I'm with four of my fraternity brothers and my actual brother. We celebrate till like 2 or 3 in the morning. I think I may have had actually an alcoholic beverage.
Wow.
We go back to the fraternity house. I said, you know what? We're calling Frank DePino. The Cardinals are in Pittsburgh. I find the hotel where he's staying at. This is I knew my job was going to be.
Yeah.
I call him up at 2:30 in the 3 o'clock in the morning. He answers. He's sound asleep. I'm like, is this Frank DePino? He's like, yeah. I'm like, it's Randy Merck and diehard Cub fan, pal. I guess you owe us an apology. He goes, you're seriously calling me for this? And I'm like, yeah. We just won the division, champ.
I called
Frank DePino, and he goes, trust me. Wait till the Don Zimmer gets you in the playoffs. He'll blow it. He'll screw something up. Trust me. And I'm like, Frank, will you just apologize? He's like, I'm not apologizing because Don Zimmer sucks.
And he hung up?
And no. And then we started seeing Go Cubs go, and he laughed. And he said, all right, thanks for calling, guys. And then he hung up.
Oh, my God. He's actually a pretty good sport about it.
He was great about it.
Wake him up at 3 in the morning.
3 in the morning,
road.
Yeah. And you know what? He was right. Don Zimmer did screw up in the postseason.
So. Will Clark screwed him up in the postseason.
Yeah, he did.
That's a great story, man.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. How about that, York?
Compelling and rich.
You have a Frank DePino story.
Well, compelling and rich.
This is all because it's Frank DePino's birthday?
Yes, it's Frank DePino's birthday, 64 years old.
Happy birthday to Frank.
99.9% of the audience does not know who the hell Frank DePino is.
Well, he told you who he was. He was a former reliever on the Cubs. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling and participating. Thanks to Mike North, Dan Wiederer, Todd Furman in Vegas. Great job by Eric Ostrowski and for Jeff Meller. Midway's going to do the show for Sylvie today with Waddle. So he's coming up in a little bit. Thanks to Merck. And we're going out to Twin Peaks in Warrenville. We will see you there. We'll be there 1 to 3 for a Football Friday. Have a great day, everybody. Have a great weekend. Yurko's got the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word
on Carmen and Yurko.